You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and I need to back off the mic. And joining me, as always, is my co-host of this show, Zach OJMO Batista. Zach, how you doing, my man?
Dece. It's finally getting hotter out, which is, you know, always nice. And I'm fucking tired, but I'm going to keep recording, even though I am fucking tired right now.
Yeah! Power through, baby! Woo!
Yeah. It's a normal day, normal morning, more independent wrestling, basically.
Yeah, it is. Hey, we got some good independent wrestling this week, though, that I'm very excited to talk about. We have some pretty solid matchups here. Zach, I believe you picked a majority of the matches this week, so would you like to... Did I, or did you... No, you... I did, sorry.
A singular match this week.
Let me rewind. We have some pretty good independent wrestling to talk about. I picked the majority of the matches this week, so let me talk about what I picked, and then we can talk about what Zach decided to bring to the table. I, this week, have chosen two matches that I was very excited about. Melbourne City Wrestling, Jessica Choi versus Aisha. And I brought to the table, from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Battle of Los Angeles 2011 Finals, Kevin Steen versus El Generico, because if there's one thing you can guarantee from Mikey, it's that he's gonna pick Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn fighting each other. I'm sorry, not Sami Zayn, El Generico, who is mysteriously still in Tijuana somewhere doing orphanage stuff, I think.
Yes, charity work.
Mm-hmm, of course. But two of my favorite wrestlers, probably of all time, had to pick. Now that this match was free on YouTube, I had to do it.
Fair enough.
Zach, what did you bring to the table?
Coming off of our For the Culture episode a couple weeks back, I decided to pick a wrestler that had really caught my eye, which is the OGMO, a.k.a. Michael Oku, a.k.a. the Master of the Half Boston Crab, going against Ender Kara at Pro Wrestling Soul, a promotion we haven't done in a minute.
All right, why don't we jump right on into it then, unless we got anything else to talk about?
I have nothing in particular at the moment.
No, not even the fact that, like... As of recording today, in a month's time, Mario Strikers Battle League comes out.
Oh, well, I actually forgotten that was a thing.
I'm mega excited for that game. Mega excited.
Really, Mario Strikers, huh?
I love Mario Strikers. When I was like 13, my cousin gave me his old GameCube, and that was the only game he gave to me with the GameCube was Mario Strikers, which I played the shit out of. Oh. Then when I got a Wii, I played the shit out of Mario Strikers Charged. So this is one of my favorite Mario sports games ever. So now that they're coming out with a new one, literally next month, 2 days before my birthday, I'm excited.
I mean, fair enough. I was not expecting to hear about Mario Strikers, but hey. I'm glad that you're excited for it.
Listen, I'm turning 26, which is a very upsetting thing for me, because I am now closer to 30 than I am to 20, and that sucks. but if there's one thing that's making my birthday better, it's that Mario Strikers coming.
Always look for that, the bright bit of positivity in your life.
So stoked for that
Such
game,
as
man.
Mario
so
Strikers.
Anyway, enough about Mario Strikers, even though it's going to be hype. let's get into these matches. Let's start off with the match you chose this week, which was the OJMO versus Ender Kara from Pro Wrestling Soul.
Jeez. So there's not a lot of context to this match, really. Just these two wanted to fight each other, and I'm like, you know what? That's fine.
Listen, I love a simple build.
It's very simple.
These two want to fight each other, so here they are fighting each other.
Yes.
Easy peasy.
So right out the gate, these two lock up and throw each other around the ring until a rope break forces them apart, and they kind of stare at each other for a moment, and Kara just loudly slaps Oku across the face.
Very disrespectfully.
Yeah, Oku kind of gives a look of like, okay, motherfucker.
Oh, right, that's where we're going with this? Got it.
Got it. They lock up again, except this time Kara grabs Oku's wrists and locks him in a wrist lock. And then Oku, in a very impressive feat, kind of rocks back and forth on the ground while his wrist is still being held until he's able to kip up, then standing backflip, and then arm drag him, Kara, several times, and then finally take him to the floor with a Hurricane Rana and a drop kick.
Yeah.
My jaw was on the floor after this was done. It was so ridiculously well executed that I was actually genuinely shocked by this.
Yeah, there was some really smooth spots in this matchup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last time I saw Oku was in a scramble match, and those matches aren't known for the most showcasey of matches in terms of, like, technical wrestling.
Yeah, everyone kind of gets their spots in, and that's about it in a scramble. Yeah.
So I was like, damn, okay. All right, let's fucking do this shit. So now in control, he slams Kara to the floor, and he goes, I now learned after this match, he goes, now we play, because he's going to go for the half, that's what he says before he goes for the half Boston Crab.
Mm-hmm.
His finisher, in case you couldn't tell by my way I introduced him. Except Kara gets out of it by raking Oku's eyes.
Yeah, you can kind of tell that during this match he kind of gets punished for constantly, like, taunting and, like, bringing up his finisher.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you scream the thing you always scream before you do your finisher, maybe it's a big call for the opponent to be like, hold on, maybe I should counter this. Mm-hmm.
It's like when Randy Orton does his, like, fist pounding on the ground, and you're, like, sitting there, and the guy counters, like,
maybe I shouldn't stand up for this RKO.
Maybe I should slam my fist into the ground repeatedly to let the guy know that I'm ready, or sweet chin music, too.
Also, does Randy Orton get, like, shin splints, but, like, in his, like, forearms? Like, what's, like, the... You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What would that be?
I don't know. Forearm
splints? From doing that over and over? Yeah, like, what's that bone called?
I know... It's not the form. It's something... I can't remember. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a wrestling fan.
Not a weatherman. I'm just a wrestling fan.
That quote's still in the Google Doc.
It's still just sitting in the Google Doc.
It's just there. One day... One of us will just probably me.
I don't even remember the context of it anymore, man. It's just been there now forever, and I don't know what to do about it.
I remember it only because of the timing of it, but
yeah.
Anywho, after he gets punished for shouting out his finishing move like an anime character,
of course,
Oku tries to get back into this by Irishwhipping Kara into the corner, but instead Kara uses his momentum to roll onto the apron and and jump off the top rope itself. To dropkick Oku in the chest. Mm-hmm. And from here, he just dominates Oku with stiff kicks, but kind of like the longer he goes on, the more frustrated he's getting, because Oku keeps kicking out of things where, like, you know, the heel being like, you shouldn't be able to kick out of that. You know, classic Valiant babyface. So he throws Oku in the corner and just blasts him with several running strikes before tripping him up in the corner and then hitting a huge running dropkick bomb to his chest. And yet Oku still kicks out. And then counters a fireman's carry from Kara with a backbreaker jumping reverse bulldog is what I have written here. Which was
sick looking.
Yes. It is about as complicated looking as you think it is, but it looked very nice. And I like how after this, the two of them kind of just sit up and just start trading kicks to each other's back and chest. Just like they're like, fuck you. You know, like back and forth. And then finally, they get back to their feet when Oku gets like a rhythm with a bunch of kicks over and over again. They stand up, and Kara, for like the briefest of moments, gets an upper hand thanks to a series of stiff forearm strikes. But then he gets his breath knocked out of him by an explosive lariat from Oku. And from here, Oku hits a running splash in the corner, followed by a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker and a vertical suplex power slam.
Which was sick.
Oh, it was a very nice sequence.
The vertical suplex, the stalling vertical suplex power slam.
Yes. And then after Kara kicks out, Oku sets up for a running knee. But then as he starts running the ropes, fucking Kara just blasts him with a spinning roundhouse kick to the back of his head.
He did the thing. They did the thing like where OJMO ran one way and then Kara ran like perpendicular to him.
Mm-hmm.
To like cut him off, you know, like when Willow Nightingale does the pounce,
yeah,
or like, you know, like when people do like the pounce and they like that, like it's I don't know what, like I never know what to call that, like quick like juke, I guess, but it's cool.
They faked him out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kicks him right in the side of the head.
Yeah, it looked brutal. It looked nasty, that kick landed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't get him in the window, so he goes to the top, as all people do in wrestling, and he goes for a frog splash.
Wait. When he goes to the top rope, there was one fan in the crowd who just yelled, OJ, move! And then he just went, and Ender just went, shut up!
And then, evidently...
Which was really funny.
This was even more funny to me, because he gets all this hype from this frog splash, and the fan telling it, ironically enough, or funnily enough, gets Oku actually moves out of the way, yeah. So he just eats the fucking mat from this fucking frog splash.
I just like how he was like, shut up! Like, don't tell him!
So I didn't yell my move this time.
Yeah.
So, Oku rolls out of the way. Gar is recovering from the absolute belly flop he just did on the ropes. Oku goes.
Man, I'm scared to take a belly flop like into a pool. I would never. I don't know how it would feel to just be like onto ground, right? Oh man.
If I took that spot in my head, I would be like, "Can we do that at the end of the match? And you just kill me?"
Yeah, right. Just dive straight, just belly first, just right to the mat. Yeah. Like Jesus Christ, how do they do it, man?
And as if Oku was reading my mind, he murders Kara because Kara's on the ropes trying to get up, and he fucking. He goes for the kill shot and hits a filthy drop kick and a running knee to the side of this dude's head.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to the half Boston crab again. And again, Kara fights his way out of the hole. This time it's because he's like desperately kicking him in the face because he's realizing that he was very close to getting put in this hole. And he goes for a standing slice of bread when he gets up to his feet that Oku blocks. So he immediately goes for that spinning roundhouse kick I described before that almost destroyed Oku.
Yep.
But Oku has seen this before, so he's able to duck under this guy's kick in midair, grab one of his legs, and lock him in the half Boston crab, and wins.
Yeah, that end spot was like, mwah. Because it was so like, every time Oku called for it, it got countered, right?
Yeah.
But then, the one time he does it by surprise, it gets him the win. It's like, hey... Maybe stop yelling that you're gonna do it.
Hey, man. The guy loves the adoration from the crowd, that's for sure.
But, I guess it is pro wrestling, right? Like, the whole point is the pageantry, as I say as I wave my hands. I did a visual bit for this podcast, you know how it works.
Yeah, I'm doing the imagination hands from SpongeBob right now.
Yeah. You gotta play it up, right? So, mm-hmm. I don't know. But, anyway, this match was solid.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
I'll give this match a high, man.
I agree. I'm with you there. I think everything was really smooth. The match pacing was very good. There was no awkward spots where there was like a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it flowed very well. These two were really, really smooth in the ring, and it was a great match all around. I think both guys ended up looking pretty good at the end. Like even though Ender was the heel this whole match, like at the end as he was walking out, the crowd started chanting for him. So like when the crowd starts chanting for the heel after the match, you know it was good.
Yeah, and I also feel like if this match had like a build to it, it probably could have hit a markout territory.
I would love to see these guys go in like a series. Like if one of them gets a title,
that'd be nice.
That'd be great. Like put a little, like get these guys together, but put some stakes on it. They would knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I would love to see it later down the line. Anyway, let's move on to the next match. But first, we're gonna go to a quick commercial.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
All right, we are back. Let's get into this next match. We are talking about Jessica Troy versus Aisha from Melbourne City Wrestling. Going to Aussie, baby. I tried to do an accent, but it was didn't. I was like, I'm going to do an accent here. And then my body was like, no, you're going to offend every Australian. Just stop.
Don't worry. You can never hurt the Australians more than Outback Steakhouse has.
Oh, you're fucking right. Those commercials are rough, man.
Yeah, I can hear the Bloomin' Onion Burger in my nightmares.
I'm just mad that in Outback commercials, they don't say, we're not here to fuck spiders, because that's the best Australian saying, and it's not even close.
Yeah, they got the Bloomin' Onion Burger, dude.
Listen, that used to be my shit. Whenever I went to Outback, the Bloomin' Onion Burger was the only thing I would ever get.
I will say, I have heard from like the one person I know that's been to Outback that they is actually really good.
It's really good. And now I make those for a living because we have something very similar at the restaurant I work at.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, Jessica Troy versus Aisha.
This
match fucked.
It's a good match. This match was for the MCW Women's Championship.
Yes, it was.
Jessica
that,
Troy.
That is something I forgot to mention.
We've actually reviewed a couple matches from Troy, I believe. Two? Not off the top of my head now, I think. One was the Charlie Evans. One was the... It wasn't Charlie Evans, it was another match. And then,
I think we reviewed Jessica Troy, Charlie Evans trilogy, didn't we?
We might have. Because it's been a minute since we've been some Australian wrestling. And this is Aisha's second match in MCW.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to basically prove herself, and Troy's kind of trying to bring up the new generation of wrestlers.
I mean, I think it worked, based on how this match went.
Mm-hmm. So, this match... Before this match even starts off, we get some bits of Troy kind of posing to the crowd, kind of.
Because
She is the face here, and Aisha is, as if I recall correctly, her title is The Baddest Bitch.
Nice. Her and Jade Cargill are going to have to fight about that.
Yep, eventually. She's got like the whole, like, I'm better than all of you, I'm not even going to pay attention to all you, go fuck yourself, I'm better than you, hot shit.
Classic heel shit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And eventually, though, after waiting around enough, and Aisha getting annoyed, like, is like, we're going to do this, and Troy's like, oh, you ready? The two of them lock up, and Aisha tries to go toe-to-toe with Troy in grappling, which
it didn't go badly.
It didn't go badly, but I remember, I thought the same thing the commentary said, which I'm like, that is a bold move to go with the arm taker in a grappling fight.
If you're here to prove yourself, fucking give me all that confidence. Fucking lock up with the person who's great at locking up. Like, show, like, do it. Like, go for it, right? Like, don't, like, I really actually liked, I know everyone was like, oh, why would you do that? I actually really liked that she went for it, because it's just like, yeah, this new generation is not here to fuck around and try to get, like, heel victories. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to lock up with Jessica Troy, and it's going to be fine. Like, hell yeah, give me that newbie confidence, I love it.
Yeah, queen, go for it. I mean, she does decent, she still loses.
No, but, like, that sequence where they first locked up was really cool.
Yeah, it was. I'm still saying.
Like where they're rolling around and they both, they get kicked out of each other's things with the arms, and then they rolled on their back and both did the bridge and stared each other down while they're upside down. That was sick!
Yes, that was after she got, Troy forced her to rope break. She test of strength her, and I was like, that's an even more bold play, but okay. And that came out significantly better because neither one really won that. Whereas the first one, Troy was like, sit down, young one.
Yeah.
But the second one, I was like, okay, alright. So, after these two kind of like...
I should just really show him what she's got, though.
She did. Oh, yeah, 100%. They mirrored each other for a good amount of this. They then start trading pins after this, if I recall correctly.
Yep.
And then eventually after this, Aisha boots Troy in the gut and takes control of the match. She beats down on Troy until Troy dodges a chop from her in the corner and delivers several of her own to her chest back to back to back.
Yep.
She then hits two fast-paced running forearms in the corner and throws Aisha face first into the middle turnbuckle. She goes to the double knees to the back of Aisha's head. But Aisha rolls out of the way, and as
it was another case of the face be showing off too much and giving the heel time.
Yeah, and unfortunately for her, she pays for it in the form of almost a drop kick. So I was thinking of the spot from before, a backstabber off the turnbuckles.
Oh yeah, brutal.
Very nice. Aisha, as Mikey said, to have some confidence in herself, she's like, nah, I'm not going to just fight the arm breaker in a grappling fight. I'm going to target the arm breaker's arms.
Imagine the clout she would have gotten for making Jessica Troy tap out to an arm breaker.
Would have been absolutely massive. She gets one of Troy's arms in like a hammerlock hold on the floor and then grabs her other arm and like hyper extends it to pull it behind her back, and then she just stomps on it, which looked fucking disgusting.
Sure it did.
It is the type of spot that I like to put akin to Shayna Baszler spots when she's doing her best shit, which is it's like the sweet spot of brutal looking, but it's not actually dangerous if you think about it.
Yeah, it's just somebody with their arm going like, right?
Yeah, but it looks fucking
it looks vicious.
Delightfully brutal, as I like to say sometimes.
Yeah.
So she beats down on Troy while now in control. She's targeting her left arm of hers, and she's taunting the crowd because the crowd is like, totally on Troy's side, and she's just like, yeah, no, fuck all you. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, some guy's, like, yelling, I think she got it, and she's like, shut up. The fuck up. Goes back to beating down Troy. At one point, she has Troy in a camel clutch, and Troy starts to, like, drag herself towards the ropes. So, she very creatively leans forward instead so that it pins Troy's shoulders to the mat. Mm-hmm. Almost pins her, actually, with it. And it's more of her beating her down the corner, except this time she gets Troy back into the center of the ring with a bulldog. And it's after this that Troy starts to make her comeback with a bunch of forearm strikes from the floor up to her feet.
Mm-hmm.
And when Aisha tries to prevent this with a boot to the gut, Troy retreats to the corner and drop kicks Aisha's leg out when she goes running after her to keep the pressure up. So she ends up falling face first into the turnbuckle, which lets Troy hit her running knees to the back of her head. She then tries to go on the apron and boots Aisha in the face, or to boot Aisha in the face, but Aisha drags her through the middle and top ropes with like a waist lock, and she beats her down a bit, leaves her hanging there, goes up to the middle rope, leg drops her.
That was sick. That was a sick leg drop. It looked great. It was just brutal and just almost, it looked like it took Troy out.
Mm-hmm. She kicks out, and Aisha is physically frustrated. Like, you see her face, she has very good facial reactions here, as well as...
I'd be upset, too. That was a crazy... If somebody kicked out of a move like that...
Mm-hmm. It was... So, she's like, alright, well... And then, she kind of throws, like, a tantrum. Like, she's like, a bunch of, like, relentless, like, over and over hits that don't really, probably don't do a lot of damage, more so just kind of like a, fucking piece of shit, motherfucker, just die, god damn it.
Stay god down!
Exactly. Then she mocks Troy's pose where she like kind of like grabs her ponytail and like goes like two ends over. She mocks that. The crowd's like, boo, fuck you. No.
That's our girl. You stop that.
Stop imitating. So then after this, she goes for a double underhook DDT on Troy, but Troy resists enough and she kind of like walks herself backwards onto the apron. And Aisha follows her out there, beats her down, tries to hit the DDT again, this time on the apron, but Troy hits her with a jawbreaker. Several forms to the face, which then knocks Aisha backwards into one of the the rod that connects the turnbuckle to the corner post. Mm-hmm. And then Troy drives her face first into said rod with double knees to the back of her head.
Yeah, that was
brutal.
Yeah, it was.
It didn't help afterwards for her that she kept control of the match by hitting her with a casual brainbuster onto the apron. And then she really starts to show as she's the arm taker because she kicks the shit out of Aisha's arm. And Aisha fights back, and the two end up taking each other out with a variation of like a pump kick to the face, or a variation of kicks to the face, a pump kick from Troy and a super kick from Aisha at the same time. Aisha's the first to regain her bearings, and she's like, all right, well, clearly she's going to like Troy's like nearing her where she's gonna go for the armbar, so she's gotta finish her. So she goes for the double under DDT again. But Troy counters it with a jackknife pin that Aisha kicks out of, and credit to her determination. Aisha does try to hit Troy with a spinning heel kick after. It's like a full wheel, like, wheel kick.
Mm-hmm.
But Troy ducks it, kicks Aisha in the arm, spikes her head first into the mat with a standing Meteora to the back of her head, and then locks in a Fujiwara armbar that Aisha instantly taps out to.
Bananas. That was a... that, like, double knee to the back of her head into that armbar was just like, oh...
Very good. It was a very nice-looking spot.
I thought this match was good.
I thought these two did a good job playing their to their characters and the crowd well. There are points where I wish the wrestling was a bit more smooth, and that I wished Aisha sold her arm more. Because, like, she instantly tapped out of this. Like, you could argue that, like, that's her character. It's like, I'm not going to get my arm hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I kind of was wishing, like, maybe she sold her arm a bit more. But
yeah.
I was satisfied with this match. I thought this was a good-ass match.
I agree. This was really, really solid. They absolutely murdered each other. And it was, it was another really well-paced match, I think. There was a lot going on, and it all happened very quick, but it was not in a bad way. Like, it felt like it never took a downtime. It never took that, like, weird, awkward downtime where it's like, somebody do something already. It was... There was always something happening. There was a lot of good technical wrestling shown off, and it was a solid matchup. I think Aisha really showed what she was made of.
I will also give this match a high meh.
Yeah, same here. That sounds about right.
So far, we've gotten a good run of matches. Mikey, I wonder if the last match will live up to the other two matches.
No, this one was kind of a miss out for me. No, I'm kidding. This is. The last match we're going over today is Kevin Steen versus El Generico from PWG Battle Los Angeles 2011 Finals. And
the context.
How could this match not be good?
It's like, if you don't know the context, where have you been in wrestling? But on the off chance you don't know what the context is, the feud of El Generico and his friend Sami Zayn against Kevin Steen / Kevin Owens is an age-old history of a blood... It is like the... You open up a dictionary, you look up the word blood feud, you'll see a picture of these two in front of each other.
Yeah, this is like Stone Cold, right?
Yeah, literally, like
Rock Stone Cold, HBK Brett. Like, yeah, this is that kind of level.
Never
of feud.
A bad match, great chemistry, and
yeah.
Like, here, I'll give you an example of this blood feud. Before the announcer can even announce the match, the two are already beating the crap out of each other. Like, the announcer's like, gets Alf onto the apron, he's like, mid-fight, he's like, ladies and gentlemen, this is your PWG Finals, they're just beating the shit out of each other.
Sure was. Sure were.
Loved it. It leads to Steen chucking Generico out to the outside and sentoning onto him over the top rope. And a lot of this match actually takes place here on the outside of the ring, surprisingly, as opposed to inside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Steen mercilessly beats Generico and powerbombs him onto the apron. I got PTSD for the fucking NXT spot when he did that to Sami Zayn after he won the title.
I just thought it was so funny that in this match, it was just like a spot that just happened. But in NXT, it like put Zayn on the shelf, right?
Yeah, and it was that was the catalyst for the WWE version of their feud that still lasts to this day, even though they're both heels.
Like these two fought in PWG, NXT, main roster at WWE. These two are the definition of fight forever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. that's what Generico and Steen is.
Yeah. And then at this point, Steen takes a moment to, as Aisha did before, taunt the crowd, except this also includes a little kid in an El Generico mask, and that'll be more relevant later on into the match. So as he's taunting, this gives Generico time to get up under the apron, and he hits a fucking sit-out moonsault off the top rope onto Steen on the outside onto a bunch of the chairs that the crowd had to leave when he was doing this.
Yeah.
It's fucking wild.
Sure was.
Generico then sends Hans off the top rope onto Steen. He actually, like, damn near jumps over him and proceeds to beat the shit around him until Steen chops him with a stinging shot to the chest and stops his momentum. Just it looks like he's gonna throw Henerico like head first into like this wall with like a poster on it. Henerico counters him by chopping him in the chest, kind of grabbing his wrist. And if you've seen any lucha match, you'll know where this is gonna go. He runs off the wall and uses that to hit Steam with a tornado DDT. Very nice.
Yeah. Lucha. That was so sick looking.
It's a very innovative, like, fast spot that you're like, oh, duh, of course he's going to fucking use the wall of Tornado DDT. And this is actually what finally caused them to actually get back into the ring. Where Steena, whereas Henerico is, like, jumping off the top rope, to, I assume, do, like, a frog splash or just, like, a running, like maybe, like, a forearm or a drop kick off this top rope. Steen catches him with a fucking cutter and kills him.
Sure did.
He wipes him the fuck out.
Steen knew exactly what was coming and was like, all right, here we go.
And this is where, in this moment, that you could definitely see why anyone that was thinking of signing Steen would understand why. Because he does such a good job of working a crowd. Because he knows that this crowd loves Henerico. And he sees this kid in this Henerico mask. So he is, like, just hurling insults at this crowd. He's pointing this little kid out, like, he's like, oh, you like Henerico, huh? As he beats the shit out of him on the ground. And at one point, Henerico actually hits him with a Michinoku driver because of this. So he stops that by super kicking him in the face and hitting a pump handle driver to the back of Henerico's head.
Mm-hmm.
And Steen apparently at this point has homed in on this one kid who's on his dad's shoulders with this mask. And he's like, kid, what I'm about to do now? This is your fault. And he puts Henerico in a sharpshooter so that he's facing the kid. So the kid has to watch Henerico scream in pain as he's in this sharpshooter. And fun fact, as one of the commentators said, the sharpshooter is how Steen won his last matches to get into the finals.
Yeah.
So him going like, this one's for you, kid. Basically, he was the... Steen basically, I'm going to beat it because of you.
Fucking sorry, kid. Yeah. I like how they mentioned that they were like, yes, this is how Steen has won his last two matches to get into the finals, because it made it feel like they really sold it as, like, a finishing move, so it made it feel, like, even more intense that, like, Sami Zayn was locked in it, right? Or, sorry, that El Generico was locked in it.
Yeah, different guy.
Yeah, different guy completely. That it really put stakes on it and made me feel like, oh shit, he might tap here, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of it being like, oh, it's a sharpshooter, he'll probably rope break or something and get out of it.
Oh, I just remember there's a point where the kid fucking flipped him off, and Steen, like, for a second did, like, the Triple H, where, like, he got out of the ring, he's like, I will beat the shit out of you, kid, you little shit.
Yeah.
Fucking loved it. Eventually, though, Steen does let go of this hold, goes onto the apron, he looks at the kid, and he goes, this one's for you. He goes to the top rope, and Henerico gets up, tries to stop him. Steen knocks him down by gouging his eyes out and biting his nose. And just before he jumps, he, like, does, like, the, aw, so close, little Steen's like, yeah, like, I never fall for that. And he goes, fuck you. And then he jumps off and gets booted in the gut by Henerico. Though he immediately then counters any attempt that he had of a brainbuster attempt by Henerico with a package pile driver that Henerico barely kicks out of.
Yep.
So he locks Henerico in the sharpshooter again. This time he actually holds it all the way until Henerico gets the rope break and he's forced to break the hold. And as Henerico is recovering in the corner from this, Steen spits in his face several times and hits him with a running clothesline in the corner, but he goes for a second one and Henerico catches him and drives him into a corner with a classic exploder suplex. And then he throws him out of the corner with a Tiger Suplex 85, which I have never seen or heard of before.
Oh yeah.
Until when I watch this match. And then just to add insult to injury, Henerico then hits Steen with his own package pile driver, which I assume was his finisher at the time, based on how the crowd was selling it.
Yeah, I believe that is the case.
And Steen barely kicked out of it. So then the two get back to their feet, and Steen goes to the corner, and Henerico blasts him with a haluva kick. Steen doesn't go down. In fact, maybe he smiles after this hit. So he hits him with a second one. Same result, except Steen this time looks at him and he slaps him across the face. So, Henerico does what anyone would do when someone slaps across the face. He slaps him back, and then he spits on him some more. Then hits him with a third haluva kick, followed by his brainbuster finisher. And it should have, by all means, ended this match. But as Mikey said, Kevin Owens and Steen are the definition of fight forever, and Steen kicks out.
Yeah, this it reminded me of the spot where... where Sami Zayn hit the Hellhammer kick on Owens, and Owens fell, and Zayn caught him and pushed him back up.
Yeah, that
and was like, no, you're not done yet. And hits him with another one. Like, it was just, these two have chemistry beyond chemistry. It is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So exhausted at this point, they each crawl to the opposite sides of the apron to each other. They stare each other down, and Eriko hits one last Luva kick into Steen, one last brainbuster into the apron. He rolls Steen into the ring, gets the win.
I will forever say that there is one photo from WrestleMania, from one of the WrestleManias, where Zayn and Owens had their, a big blow-off match. And it's just, like, Zayn is, like, in the corner on Owens, and they're just, like, fists ready, like, at each other. And Zayn posted it, and it just said, "Fight forever." And I want that picture framed and hung up on my wall. Like, I love that photo more than anything.
Mm-hmm. And just a little extra, in case you wanted more of these two. There's a moment here where in the celebration, Eriko's got this trophy. The kid gets brought into the ring. Everyone's all happy. And Steen looks at this kid and Eriko. And because he's a spiteful little twat, he kicks the fucking trophy and breaks it in the middle of his celebration and runs out of the ring before the kid or him could do anything about it.
That sounds about right. Listen, so if he had real balls, he would have just powerbombed the kid.
Oh my god. So Mikey, what would you give this match, in case it's not evidently obvious how much you like this match?
It's a mark out. I'm not even gonna joke about being like, oh, it's a missed out. Like, obviously it's a mark out. It's so good. This match rules. These two always rule. Like, these two can't have a bad match with each other because they just are so good at fighting each other. They're so good at hating each other, and it always makes for an amazing matchup.
Agreed. I think the crowd did a really good...
I forgot to mention, not only did they feud in NXT, PWG, WWE, but also Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
can't forget about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of these days, like we said, oh my god, you just reminded me, like, way back when, like, one of the first episodes we did, we said it one day we would watch the ladder match.
The ladder war. Yeah.
Which we did not. We have not watched yet.
We're gonna. It's gonna happen.
One day.
But, maybe not now, because we just watched the Kevin Steen El Generico match, but one day we will get to that ladder war, and it's gonna be awesome, because that ladder war is absolutely bonkers, and is in, like, my top, like, three wrestling matches, probably, like, of all time.
God damn. Well, anyway, I will also be giving this match a mark out. I thought the crowd was really into this match, which always helps. These two played their roles really well. Wrestling was great. There were, like, no bad spots here and there. The improvisation with the kid was good.
Yeah.
Seeing these two spit each other, my first thought was, that is not a COVID-era match at all.
Spitting
in each other's faces.
I mean, people still do it. It's John Moxley bites people's faces, right? Like,
he does. Something about spitting in someone's face is just a different vibe to me.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Anywho, I still give it a bark out.
Yeah, this match was awesome. That about wraps it up this week for all of our matches, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't we give the people a little bit of a preview of what's coming around next week? I believe now, next week, you pick the majority of the matches, unlike I said before. So why don't you tell us what you brought to the table for next week?
All right. So starting things off, we're getting, we got some Brian Keith match in here. We got Brian Keith versus Rudy Garza at Reality of Wrestling.
Nice.
And then, because I was...
Reality of Wrestling is Booker T's, right?
Yep. Booker T's Texas promotion. And because I was... Mikey and I were not... I'm not going to say robbed, but we're not... Did not have the privilege of seeing a long Sawyer Wreck match. We're now going to be watching Sawyer Wreck versus Jinai Kai at Wrestle League Women's Championship. I believe it's Proving Grounds.
Hell yeah, that match is going to be dope.
Wrestle League, and it's Proving Grounds is the place that, I'm actually excited because it's an actual wrestling match. It's Jinai Kai, someone who, I want to see more of Jinai Kai, because every time I see Jinai Kai, I feel like it's in a version of a squash match of some sort, where the match isn't, like, the most exciting, and I'm like, okay, Sawyer Wreck is, like, hardcore, This match has potential to be really good.
Sure does.
But anyway, enough about me gushing about that. And yeah, your match that you picked was...
The match I brought to the table was from Absolute Intense Wrestling, and it is Tommy End taking on Raymond Rowe. Tommy End, you may now know as Malachi Black, and Raymond Rowe is now Eric from the Viking Raiders in WWE. So this is, as they say, a match that can't happen anymore. And I'm very excited to see it and watch these two kill each other because I know... Because we've both seen both of these guys in action, like Malachi Black, brutal, awesome in the ring. Raymond Rowe, also like the Viking, part of the Viking Raiders, just absolutely murdering people when they're in NXT. You know, I can't wait to see these two. I can't wait to see what Raymond Rowe has in a singles match. Because I've only ever seen him in tag team action, so I'm excited there. And Tommy End's always a good time because we all know that Malachi Black can just kick people's heads off.
Mm. Oh, yeah. This will be a very stiff match with two very tattooed gents.
Oh, yeah. Fully tattooed and fully ready to kill each other. So that about does it for everything this week. That just leaves us with the plugs. So if you are not following us on Twitter, you should be, because over on Twitter you can find the links to all of the matches we talked about here on the show. If you follow us on, you can follow us on Twitter over at Indie Waters. We share a bunch of, like I said, we tweet out a new episode every week. We post links to where you can watch all these matches that we talked about, and we just share our thoughts on the world of wrestling and the world in general. And if you want to follow the Countout Network as a whole, which we, of course, at Indie Waters are a part of, go follow at Countout Pod over on Twitter, where you can get all of the updates from all across the Countout Network. Where we update you on shows and such as How to Talk to Your Friends About Wrestling, Your Dose of Death, Pure, Okada Shorts, Ring Post Radio, so much fun content here on the Countout Network. Whatever flavor of wrestling you like, we probably have a show for it. So go check out the rest of the Countout Network as well as this show, and go subscribe and leave us 5-star reviews wherever you get your podcast. We would really appreciate it if you gave us those 5-star reviews, because like I said, they help a budding podcast like ourselves get some more eyes and more ears, and give you guys more people to talk about the show with. So we would really appreciate it if you did that. And if you have match recommendations for the show, you can tweet those at us, like we said before, at Indie Waters. Let us know what kind of matches, let us know what match you want us to watch, and we'll take a look at it. We love and if you do, we'll shout you out on the show. And you know, we'd really appreciate that. We love fan interaction. We love watching stuff our fans send us, because it really gives us an idea of what kind of it shows off the diversity of wrestling that everyone likes, which is always a fun time. And you can go subscribe to us on YouTube, Count Out a Wrestling Podcast Network, where we post video versions of all the podcasts in video form, I guess, over on the YouTube channel. And we post some other fun content as well. Like a couple years ago, we did a vlog of our trip to the Collective in Indianapolis, which is up on there. Me and Ryan have some old... me and Ryan Knightsey of Ring Post Radio have some old 2K footage where we did commentary over 2K matches for our old podcast, Hit the Books. A lot of fun content over on YouTube, so go check us out over there. And you can like us on Facebook, Count Out a Wrestling Podcast Network. And I believe that about wraps up all the Oh, you could go, if you want merch for this podcast or any podcast of the Count Network, you can go to countoutpod.com/store. And if you want any more information on the rest of the Count Out Network and how to become a subscriber to the Count Out Network, you can go to countoutpod.com and check us out there. For $5 a month, you get exclusive audios that only members get from all the podcasts here on the network. They're all really fun and really enjoyable, so I highly recommend you become a member and get those audios. And go buy your cool t-shirt that you may or may not have gotten for free at GCW In Too Deep when we were there. And I think that about wraps it up now for sure. Zach, you got anything?
No, never.
Didn't think so. So that just leaves me with one thing left to say, and that is to remember that there is a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.